Kids, picture yourself in a dark room. It's late at night. It's past your bedtime. You're in trouble. It's dark. You can't see. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. Yeah, it's scary. You ever been there? Yeah, we've probably all experienced that. We're in a dark place. You lift up your hand. You can't even see your hand. It's dark. What's the only thing that can dispel the darkness? Light. What was it? Jesus, you got it. Come on now. John chapter 9, the blind man was in darkness from he was born into darkness, blind, couldn't see his hand. And so, in today's text, Jesus heals this man born blind, revealing that true sight is a gift of grace. So, the season of Lent that we're in, those 40 days, excluding the Sundays, the 40 days leading up to thank you. She's the pastor's wife. She shouldn't be the one answering questions. Easter, 40 days of Lent leading up to Easter Sunday. This season invites us to see ourselves and others and God more clearly as we walk the road that Jesus walked first. Let's take a look. John 9. It's a long passage, so let's go quick. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "who sinned? Leroy's okay, praise the Lord." Thank you, Mary Rose. Leroy's good. Okay, good. "This man or his parents," said he, "was born blind." "Neither this man or his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world," Jesus is telling us, "I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, yuck, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went, washed, came home seeing. His neighbors, those who had formerly seen him begging, asked, "This isn't the same man who used to sit and beg." Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself said, "I'm the man." "Now, how then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees, they were mad. "This man's not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Ah, we'll find out the truth with his parents. Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he's our son," the parents answered. "We know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." Second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Father, help us to see. In Jesus' name, amen." The journey, so our journeys, all of our journeys, if we're human, really, in a sense, spiritually, we're born blind. The journey begins with blindness. The disciples, they asked the wrong question. Who sinned? His parents or this guy? They assume that blindness is a punishment. Maybe similar to Job in the Old Testament. There's a book called Job, J-O-B, not Job, but Job. Job was a righteous man. He had a lot of kids, had a lot of property, a lot of camels, a lot of donkeys, had everything. Satan tested Job, inflicted him with sores head to toe. He lost his whole family, lost everything he had except his wife. His friends did the right thing. They came and mourned with him, sat around the fire with him 7 full days, full week. That was good. They showed compassion and love for him. Didn't say a word to him. That's the ministry of presence. When somebody's going through a hard time, maybe it's just you showing up, staying. But then they opened their mouths and they said, well, Job, you must have sinned greatly, and that's why you're going through this hard time. Got to be careful there. Jesus reframes the entire situation. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, this happened so that God would get the glory in and through this man's life. So Lent begins with honesty about our blindness. We're often blind to a number of things. We could say we're blind to our sin. We don't see it all the time. We're blind to our self-righteousness, where we put ourselves on the pedestal instead of somebody else. And we put our needs first. We're often blind to assumptions, preconceived notions about others. We're blind to our need for grace. Thank you that some of you answered God is gracious. The attribute of God that you really appreciate is grace, is love, and is mercy. That's awesome. Martin Luther wrote that sin so blinds us that we cannot recognize the depth of our own corruption. Sin so blinds us that we cannot recognize the depth of our own corruption. He often described humanity as curved in on itself. The Latin for that is incurvatus. Incurvatus. Or another way of saying it is unable to see God or neighbor rightly. Unable to see God or our neighbor rightly because of the inward bent of our sinful nature. Jesus doesn't shame the blind man. He approaches him. Jesus realizes he's on his journey to the cross, and this man is on his journey, and they need to intersect somehow. So he touches him. Makes some mud out of spit. Gross. Puts it on his eyes. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Come back. So he took time for him in like he wants to do for you. He wants to take time for you today like he always has. He gives what the man could never give himself. He uses mud, which is ordinary and earthy. It's unexpected. The creator who formed Adam from dust now uses dust to restore sight. Lent, the season of Lent, reminds us that God works through humble means to bring healing. He washes in the pool of Siloam. He returns seeing. The journey of faith is often trusting before understanding. Sometimes we don't see things. We don't understand things. The journey of faith, the road that's marked out for us, sometimes it's trusting before we see those things or understand those things. Sometimes the journey of faith means walking before we see. Sometimes clarity comes, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it comes, sometimes it doesn't. One day it will. You'll see clearly. We will. Johnny Erickson Tata, familiar with her? She, at the age of 17, dove into the Chesapeake Bay head first and became a paraplegic. She's now in her mid-70s. She ministers to people all over the world, specifically or especially to the disabled. She's got a wheelchair ministry. She said this: sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. Let me read that again. Sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he... Sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. The whole point behind my quadriplegia, Johnny says, is that I get to know Jesus in such a tender, warm, poignant, personal, powerful way. She often speaks of how suffering clarifies what truly matters, how it strips away illusions and teaches us to see God's goodness more sharply. Commentary writer said this: the disciples, thinking about our text with the blind man in John 9, and the disciples witnessing this miracle, the disciples are not in every case of suffering to look back to find a possible cause of sin, but to look forward to the divine purpose which God may have in providentially permitting such suffering to come upon a person. To be sure, all suffering in this sinful world is the outcome of sin in some way or other, but this is only half the story. The other half is that God governs even in this wide field, and in some instances we are able to trace his purpose. In some instances we're able to trace his purpose, especially those of grace and mercy, in allowing certain afflictions to befall a man. Here, in the man born blind, we have a case of this kind. What looked like tragedy becomes the doorway to revelation. What the Pharisees, they see physically, the Pharisees can see physically, but are spiritually blind. They know Scripture, but they miss the Savior. They cling to rules, but miss the Redeemer. They interrogate the healed man, but refuse to celebrate the miracle. Lent, the season of Lent, exposes our own Pharisee tendencies. We all have them, like pride is one of the biggest. Proverbs says to us that pride comes before the fall. Here it is: pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We can be blind to our need for control as well. I've got this, God. I don't need your help. I've got it. I can do this on my own. I can lace my boots a little tighter. I don't need your help. I can do it. I'm strong enough. Luther warned that the greatest blindness is not immorality, but self-made righteousness. He said, nothing is more opposed to God than the righteousness of man. So the Pharisees' problem wasn't the lack of religion. They were very religious. It was too much confidence in their own religion. The healed man sees more clearly than the scholars. He doesn't know everything, but he knows this. He doesn't know everything, but he knows this. One thing I do know: I was blind, but now I see. Spiritual sight begins with humility. The journey to the cross is the journey to seeing. Jesus walked his road first. The only true sighted one entered our darkness. He took on our blindness. He carried our sin to the cross so that we could see. Lent is not self-improvement, it's revelation. We don't and can't fix our blindness. We confess it, we bring it to the light, and Jesus heals and restores and rescues. Johnny often says that suffering becomes a lens. When we see our weakness, we see God's strength more clearly. When we see our weakness, we see God's strength more clearly. The blind man's weakness became the canvas for Christ's glory. So how do we today, this morning, see clearly on the road? How do we see clearly on the road marked out for us, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us? It speaks of it as a race. You ever heard of the Roman road? Romans Road? The Romans Road, back in the 70s, 80s, I think, it was a form of evangelism where you would take your Bibles and know ahead of time which verses you were going to look up. You probably have marked them in your Bibles. I remember having a Bible. It's probably in my office. Written out to where the next one I would turn to. So I start with, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. Then I go to Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is Christ Jesus. That's the Romans road. You would just go through Romans. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose again. So you map out the scriptures in Romans, and you're sharing with a person, going through the Word of God with them. That's called the Romans Road. Did you know what the Roman Road is? It's a road built by the Romans. Fascinating, right? It's fascinating the amount of roads, pavement, stones, roads that they mapped out, mostly for war, for military campaigns. They would build these roads, and often the roads were about 12 feet. Now, Mark, you might, this is coming, this is a railroad question, so you might, it's coming, so see if you know it. They would make these roads about 12 foot wide, 8 foot wide, 8 foot wide. Some around the corners, if they turned, that was 12 foot. 8 foot wide. It was wide enough for two carts to get by. One coming this direction, one the other coming. The war carts of the Roman centurions or the Roman military had these carts, these military things. What are they called? Chariots, thank you. Chariots, they were 4 feet wide. So if they're too common, 8 foot wide would cover it, right? Okay, let's fast forward thousands of years to the railroad and the trains that came. The rail for the train, how wide is it? 56 and a half inches. That's 4 feet, 8.5 inches, isn't it? Mark knew right away because he's a railroad guy. 4 feet, 8.5 inches. Patterned after the Roman chariots with making their roads, today we have railroads and trains that go over these same distance. I don't know. I have no idea. You're going to have to do the research now and dive into it. Why is it 4 foot, 8.5? Now, why did I tell you about Roman roads? Because I just asked you the question: How do we see clearly on each of our roads? Lent invites us to see our sin honestly, to see God's grace clearly, to see others with compassion, and to see Jesus as the light who heals our blindness. The journey to the cross is a journey into sight, because the one who opens blind eyes has walked the road before us. He's already walked the road. That road took him to Calvary, which is the mountain where he was crucified. He walked that road carrying his cross, went to Calvary, died on that cross, rose 3 days later. He went on his road, his journey, so that we could run ours and walk our journey. Few stories mirror John 9 as clearly as the life of John Newton, the former slave trader turned pastor and hymn writer. He wrote, "Amazing grace, sweet the sound." So his transformation is one of the best examples of spiritual blindness giving way to sight. Newton fits this message so well, he literally described himself as blind. His conversion was a moment of seeing Christ's mercy. His most famous hymn gives you a built-in connection. "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." John Newton spent years as a hardened slave trader, a man who admitted he was spiritually dead and morally blind. He mocked faith, lived recklessly, caused deep harm to others. But during a violent storm at sea, when he thought his life was over, he cried out to God for mercy. Newton later wrote that in that moment, "I began to know that there's a God who hears prayer." It was the first flicker of spiritual sight. Over time, the gospel broke through his blindness. He left the slave trade, became a pastor, spent the rest of his life preaching the grace he once despised. Reflecting on his past, he famously said, "I'm a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior." His testimony echoes the healed man in John 9. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. Newton's story reminds us that spiritual sight rarely comes in comfort. It comes when the storms strip away our illusions and Jesus opens our eyes to grace. The road to the cross and Newton's transformation was possible only because Jesus walked his road and took his journey to the cross. First, he did that for you and me. Thank you, Lord, for walking your journey so that we could walk ours, trusting in you, in Jesus' name.